This is the Flying Hybrid Podcast with Matt and Hayley.
So we're doing this podcast thing for real now, under our new brand name, Flying Hybrid. We should probably just explain that we're high-flying hybrid training, which is how we want to train and how we do train. Just probably tell people a bit about what we're doing at the moment.
Yeah, I think so.
So we're training for HYROX at the moment, primarily, although we're dipping around a few things, but we've got our sights on a HYROX in about 6 weeks' time. And we've been following a program for that for the last 6 weeks. And it's ramping up in intensity now, isn't it? So
yeah, definitely. Sort of in the midst of sort of training, it's always interesting because obviously that's our sort of main goal, is having sort of the 12-week program. But then in the midst of that, we've got sort of training. I think you've got almost an event every week.
Yeah,
I've got a couple of events sort of along that 12-week period.
Yeah, so we're just so we're basically in the gym 5 or 6 days a week, aren't we? And
probably closer to six or seven, I think.
Six or seven, honest, really, yeah. If we're being honest about it. Well, 6 days of maybe gym-based work and also running around that. So, yeah, 2 to 3 hours a day of quite solid training.
Yeah, I think that's a general sort of rule of thumb of how it goes, isn't it?
Yeah, so we're doing a couple of weights-based sessions, a couple of run-based sessions, some mixed Metcon kind of training in there as well.
Yep.
And some general zone two running.
Yeah, I think generally consists of, as I said, three main weights-based sessions, 3 to 4 slow run sessions, 1 to 2 speed sessions. And I think that will be the general consensus of how it goes. For me, I'm ramping up the running. For you, your running's there and it's been sort of consistent for years. So I think we'll sort of delve into that and the reasons why you do more than I do currently, sort of later into the podcast.
Yeah, so our sights are really set on this HYROX in 6 weeks' time. So we're at a phase in our training where we've done some base work for the last few weeks, and now we're in a sort of ramp up period, and we're starting to incorporate sort of more intensity into our regime, aren't we, at the moment?
Yeah. So the intensity is probably always in there, shall I sort of keep it?
Intensity is always in there, but I'm sure there was a period a few weeks ago where it was less intense. Now it's getting more intense again. What are you enjoying about our training at the moment?
Yeah, so interesting. Usually as you go first, then I go second on these things, isn't it? So interesting than me going first. Yeah, so I think for me, the first thing is my most exciting, and I think that's probably been since we started it, is the speed session or the threshold run. And that's the one I look forward to. So for us, it's on a Monday, start of the week, kick it off, get it going as sort of the most enjoyable part. That's the one I look forward to the most. And also it'd be interesting when we talk about the things that we do not like, and it kind of links into that sort of very finely as well. Threshold is definitely the one I enjoy the most, and just sort of enjoyed working hard with the running and seeing the benefits of that in the rest of the training. Mm. So number two, again, this will be linking to stuff that you don't like, but supersets. Supersets is my sort of big thing at the moment that I love doing in terms of part of our training. I love the sort of combination of doing two back-to-back weight things, which adds a little bit of sort of more endurance-y feel, even though it's sort of quite intense. But takes me back to my sort of glory years and my very early training of how I have this like golden image and sort of like my very sort of first introduction into weights when I first got it. It's like just feeling the, sort of the pump, the enjoyment of stuff you don't necessarily associate with hybrid training, or at least I certainly didn't when I very first started. And then my sort of third one's strength increase. And again, links into sort of coming from more recently a strengths background and CrossFit background. I think my first initial thoughts and probably my first initial delve into sort of hybrid world was probably a strength reduction and strength loss, or that was what I expected to see and probably did initially. But since sort of really structuring in the training program, actually the strength's now starting to jump up alongside the fitness, and having, I think that's, you know, something I've perhaps didn't expect to see, that whilst my fitness is coming, my strength's actually improving as well.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, you you were a beast in the gym on the squats yesterday, weren't you? So
yeah, I think that was interesting to see the first sort of real last couple of weeks of really seeing sort of squat progression whilst seeing running progression. But I think initially it was that as the running was getting better, the squats and the strength basis was probably starting to decline or starting to stagnate whilst the running was coming on, where now it seems that both are coming up together, which is obviously brilliant that's coming.
Yeah, I think you're right, isn't it? It's like whenever you add something new, you've got like your body's got to rebalance and recalibrate to deal with it. And then once it's second nature again, your strength numbers can go up. So yeah, so awesome. So you've got threshold sessions, supersets, and your strength increase. What's not going great? Is there anything not going great, or are you just crushing it on all fronts at the moment?
Yeah, pretty much. No,
so
I think
what
so
a stupid question,
mine's
Hayley.
Not necessarily. So the two things, so I struggle to find three things that I'm not enjoying or not, but the first one's not necessarily the training aspect, but it's actually the premise of threshold training. So like I say, my most enjoyable session is the threshold training. But the actual aspect of threshold itself is one that I'm still coming to terms of mentally, in terms of how, whenever I do training, I want it to be the best. I want to have that, if I'm putting all this hard work into it, I want the point of the training to be the best. So I don't want to be wasting energy for something that could be done better. And I think that's where I find the threshold principle interesting, because like I say, when we do threshold training, we're working hard, but we're not working at the very top end hard level, which is like the VO2 max level. So I think that's interesting for me as a concept when, when I've done CrossFit, when I do most things, I do it as hard as I possibly can. So to get that balance, and we'll talk about that a bit later in, at least I think, in terms of the structure of training. But even sort of I'm never working currently at top end level training. So even when we were doing the threshold runs, I've been sort of feeling really, really good at them at the moment and really enjoying them, but feel like I've got more in me. Which is an interesting concept for me to have and not to push to that level. And it's trying to get the threshold run-ins. It's never quite black and white of, like it's very easy to, this is exactly why you should do something, but there's nothing. I've been boring you with hours of, and you've been sort of trying to find studies that prove this for me and stuff. And I've struggled to find that dead what threshold training is to incorporate it into, obviously we're trying to build our aerobic threshold base. And the reason we don't want to push quite to that VO2 max level is because we want to build the base up to make that our strongest element that improves. But to find what that specific pace is or that feeling is very hard to find that black and white element level of what that is. And that's where mentally sometimes I want to have that literally, I want it to be black and white. I want to know exactly the pace I want to run at. I want to know exactly the feeling it should have. And I want to run at that exact pace because that's going to make me better or it's going to make our clients better, whatever the situation is. But it's hard to get that exact figure because it's a little bit of grey, which I don't like.
Yeah, you don't like grey.
I like it to be black and white.
Yeah. So we should probably explain it actually when we're talking about threshold sessions, we're talking about doing sort of interval runs, aren't we? And with the idea behind the threshold being to go at a hard but a controlled pace and to aggregate volume at that pace so that you push out the time it takes you overall to get into your anaerobic zone, as opposed to when you're doing flat out hard run as you can, hard as you can intervals when you're out of breath afterwards. The idea then is that you've gone over your aerobic threshold and you're not training so much, you're not training to delay your going into that over that threshold position. You're dealing more with your ability to cope with being over it. So as you're right, historically, I suppose we've trained more for like VO2 max intervals or into your anaerobic zone intervals. And now we're training under that. And it's kind of reframing our mindset to be like, oh, we're not quite burnt out at the end of each rep. And have we worked hard enough in the session?
I think my sort of training philosophy over years is that not necessarily I can work more than you, but I can work harder than you. I'm going to outwork you.
Not me particularly.
Not this one person, not this thing. Yeah, this hypothetical
figure.
Not Hayley or not anyone necessarily, that one specific person. But my always goal was that, I'm going to be the best I possibly can be by working out, outworking everyone or working harder than everyone. where now it's trying to, I say now, sort of a loose term in terms of now, but trying to have that structure in terms of work smarter.
Yes.
As the way forward, and still having elements of working really hard sort of through that process, but not just working for hard for the sake of working hard.
Yeah.
Working hard because it'll work into a structure of hardness, so that gets the best results possible.
Yeah.
And then trying to maximize the training that we do to be as best as possible. And same with like anything we then do for other people, is that we want you, if you're going to put all that effort in, to then have a purpose for putting all that effort in, and it's the right amount of effort, or as close to as, you know, we can possibly get that to be.
And the reason that it's stressing you out because it's a grey zone is that there's no one pinpoint. You can't pinpoint the point that your body has too much lactic acid to cope with, because that's the point we're trying to train around. It's within a zone of time and pace, isn't it? So we're trying to train in a zone rather than to an exact point.
Yeah.
And
I don't like grey in terms of training. I like it to be an exact reason why I'm doing this, or why someone should do this. And then that's exactly what I'll do, or I'll attempt to do, or trying to get people that I train to do, because I totally believe in this method and this is exactly how I can demonstrate that. When the grey, it's a little bit harder to do that.
And of course we're doing it because the great elites of HYROX are training this way. So they're clearly training this way for a reason. And we're sort of like trying to reverse engineer our understanding of the science behind it, aren't we? Because it's not how we've historically trained. It's kind of reframing our mindset and educating ourselves to get on board with this new training methodology.
Yeah, so this brings me sort of nicely onto the second element that I find in general hard and frustrating, but links in sort of nicely, I think. And it's injury management. I've done running before, but whenever I've been at my apex or my best at running, which has been always very shortly interrupted by injuries. I've always had, I've never really got injured in general with training, apart from when I run. And for me, it's always been the same sort of problems of calf injury, shin injury, always on the left side, or predominantly on the left side versus the right side, without going into the minutiae of the detail. And if you looked at sort of where we both currently are, your mileage is higher than mine. But it's very deliberate for me that mine's not higher because of injury management. So from when we've started getting into this, going from more the coaching element of where I was doing the coaching element of you when you were sort of achieving the sort of qualifying for the HYROX World Championships and those sort of things, my running base was a lot lower recently than yours. And I've been trying to build my base up slowly so I don't then re-injure myself or then injure myself in the process of doing it. And I find that very frustrating that I can't just ramp up the mileage very quickly. And I still want to increase my own current mileage, but it's a very sort of controlled sort of manner. And like I say, I train lots of people. And the biggest thing is I see all the time is people getting injured. And Hayley obviously, you know, has picked up injuries, you know, where it'd be hernia stuff and things. But literally, I think you could probably run every day of your life 24 hours a day almost and never get in a running injury.
I've never had a running related injury
where I sort of will ramp up stuff and, you know, feel like I'm absolutely flying in it, or certainly in the past. And then as soon as I'm just reaching that point where I'm like, I'm just seeing those results sort of skyrocket, injury comes and it's almost reworking way up. And it's something I've been very conscious of during this process and just constantly through running processes specifically, is the battle of trying to get that progression as quickly as I can, but make it as sustainable as possible. So it's something I'm always battling and find frustrating at times that I can't do it quicker.
And because there's no let up in the schedule, is there, in terms of it's full on anyway, so you don't have maybe a day or two to recover from.
Yeah, I mean, like I'm training 6 to 7 times a week as it is, or 6 to 7 days a week as it is. But for me, it's that sort of mileage balance of the amount of miles I want to get into. So the general sort of principle I believe, and so what we follow, is that you should be doing a minimum of 30 to 55 miles a week, or in Ks, around 50 to 70. Yeah, as a minimum, if you want to see really good results. And I'm at the very bottom end of where I'd like that to be. But that's built up of, you know, probably running 10 miles a week and trying to be amazingly good at that versus sort of, you know, at the start of the year, because I was sort of more from sort of focusing on the strength elements and the CrossFit elements. And it's very hard to ramp, well, it's not very hard, it's very easy to ramp it up quickly, but it's very easy to ramp it up quickly and then get injured. And that's that balance of doing that without getting injured for me. And particularly when I see you sort of doing all those miles, and I'm like, well, actually, A, I think sometimes you maybe do too many miles, but it was like, it's, for me, it's always trying to get the best way to do the best of the training. But to do that, I need to do that very steadily in the case of building up the mileage. Otherwise, I think, you know, from previous experience, I'll get injured. And as soon as I'm starting to make this really good progress, I don't want to have that sort of step, two steps forward, one step back, as that balance of every time I'm making those steps, then have to have a little step back. I want it just to be gradual progress, and then I can absolutely keep it always progressing.
I mean, as you touched on, I've never had a running injury. This isn't really something that's sort of on my radar to, as something to manage. But I'll have different things in the gym which are on my radar to manage, probably like deadlifts. They're always going to do something to my back, however good they feel. So that's probably my side of, you know, being cautious as well on that front.
So what's your three things you think are absolutely flying and you're enjoying and loving?
Well, having just said about the deadlifts, so I avoided doing them like the plague really before I started this current program. I had a long period of not doing them, and really don't like them. They always used to throw my back out all the time. And I just don't like high end strength stuff. Just feels very uncomfortable compared to, like, I could just run all day long every day and that's absolutely fine. The deadlifts, I found, you know, coming into this program, a real struggle. And just in the last couple of weeks, I feel like a switch has been flipped, and actually I'm starting to see some, or starting to feel that it's easier, even if I'm not seeing like dramatic improvement in numbers. I'm not dreading those sessions going into them, and they're feeling better as I'm doing them. So it's more of a qualitative result maybe at the moment than a quantitative result in terms of the numbers going up. But like, I feel that that's a big thing that's improving at the moment.
And hopefully one will lead to the other, right? In terms of you enjoy it more than hopefully. The results will get even better.
Yeah, if it's not feeling so uncomfortable, then hopefully it'll come on. I think it's just a bit of a turning point for me, and that I thought, oh, actually, I'm not coming into these sessions thinking, oh no, this is my one session of the week. I'm like gritting my teeth and just trying to get through. I'm like, I'm coming in, I'm actually enjoying that session. So that's a positive, yeah. Like you, I am really enjoying the threshold running sessions, and I'm less worried about the ins and outs of the methodology and whether I'm optimizing with this system or not. I'm probably I just like doing them because the feeling of them, because what I've always liked about running is probably the endorphins you get from them, and those kind of sessions just feel really good to do. Even if they are, you know, so this week I was very overtrained, and as you saw, like Monday session was a bit of a struggle for me to get through. Even though we're not running them top end, it felt top end for me on Monday, just because, you know, I've done too many races back to back now and I'm a bit tired. But in general, I feel like an athlete doing them. I like going into those sessions, I feel like that's my number one session of the week. If I had to miss for any reason all sessions but one, I would make sure I did that one. That is like my, we do it on a Monday. It kickstarts the week and it sets off on a good tone for me. And I really enjoy sort of going into those sessions. So that's going.
Yeah, so I don't think we both agree on that. I think for hybrid and sort of that's the one sort of, if you had to just do one session, obviously that doesn't quite equate in terms of science behind that, but that's a session that's the most important session to make it as productive and to get the best results. That's the session you need to do.
Yes, yeah. So I'm feeling good about that one as well. And in the last week or so, we've been bringing in some more sort of HYROX specific sessions as well. Some more, we've done a compromised running workout, you know, by which we just mean run, do something else, run, do something else. We did sort of a 50-minute AMRAP, didn't we, on that. And that was good because we got quite competitive with each other, which makes it fun. And we had some difficult training conditions in. It was all of a sudden, it was really, really cold and then really wet. And then we had hail and we're outside doing it, just to explain. And that felt like, I had to dig quite deep for that session to go through it. And she just felt like that is the level of struggle you're preparing your mind and body to expect on race day. And it felt like we were getting into that zone. Had a really good session there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then my things aren't going so well. You mentioned supersets. So superset would mean like doing one weight based exercise and then doing another one immediately afterwards before you get a rest.
And that was in my positives, wasn't it?
In your positives, yeah. And they're in my negatives because generally, if I'm doing weights, I just like to do weights. And because we have run a lot. So probably if I'm being conservative, 75, 80K a week. And I do all the gym sessions with you, which involve a lot of kind of intense metcons and things as well. So I kind of feel like when I come to the weight sessions, I just want the weight sessions to be weight sessions. I don't want them like turned into cardio. And I feel like the supersets are just turning all the weight sessions into cardio. It's like everything's just endless cardio. and I think because I find the strength stuff hard anyway, I like to have like an opportunity to collect myself and my thoughts and like grip my teeth and get ready to do it. I don't like have to like do one thing then do another thing. So I'm probably less into the superset.
And just to quickly, anyone who is following us, not to interject on the feelings or anything else, but just to clarify that supersets aren't cardio specific. So something we always talk about, isn't it? Where you feel like they're very cardioized, and
I feel like they're cardio.
I'm like, Hayley, they're not bloody cardio. This is totally not cardio. This is just.
But in the same way, like CrossFit can be a lot of cardio. Like if you're doing like a 10-minute wood blast with dumbbells or barbells, and everything's chopping one. If you're going from a clean to a pull up or back to a clean or something, it's very. It feels very cardio.
I guess if you don't want your weights to feel very metcon-y in terms of weights in your eyes should be done as, well, not so you should be done, but you want the feeling to be strengthy and rest and strength because you do all the metcon-y fitnessy stuff for other things.
So I like them to be separate. And like, as I say, I like the mental space to sort of gear up to, like, oh, I've got to lift a big heavy object now. I like to think about this for a bit and then go. And
it's probably the one difference of where, the reason why you don't like it. And I do like the supersets. It's because I love that feeling of the pump and the blood flow and everything else of it. Where for you, I just want to feel it's a strong feel and that's it. And then I do my fitnessy feel for the other stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I like more segregation generally in my workouts than that. So I forgot my third thing actually. So supersets were down. I've done too many races recently. So I think generally I've had a very overtrained sort of feeling week this week, just because I've had a number of races back to back and I've got the next 3 weekends as well, where I've also got races. So I'm not really having any downtime to recover. And I think that's shown a bit in my training this week. And I've certainly been feeling a little bit burnt out. So that's also trending down in my
world. Probably one of your always biggest battles is naturally you're someone that just wants to do everything and train incredibly hard all the time. And from being your coach previously to now sort of being more your training partner than sort of coach training partner, somewhere in the midst of that, is always something I've had to deal with or try and get you to control, is that thirst for just training all the time and for the sake of training, because you love the burnout feeling and trying to rein that in as much as you can, which obviously can be a really good positive thing. Yeah. But sometimes when you overstep that mark, can then be a very sort of burnt out feeling at times, or that balance of trying to fight that feeling of wanting to do it all and never wanting to drop anything because you want to do it, which is obviously very good for getting results. But also when you overstep that mark, can be very bad for getting the actual top end results that you want to get.
I don't necessarily know that I'm going to overstep it as I'm approaching to it. It's all fun and games until the point that it's not. I think it sort of hit me like a train. It was like on our interval session or threshold session on Monday. And I think I said to you at one point, I just wanted to go home, have a cry and a cup of tea. And because I just felt so depleted.
I was very sympathetic, of course.
You're very sympathetic. And actually that brings me on to my third trending down, which is Matt Strava, the updates, which I feel like I've just done to troll me. It's like, well, we'll have a session where I've clearly been struggling or something, I've not felt very good, and then his Strava update will be like, oh, that was super easy, it felt really good. like go away.
I'm definitely one of those Strava people. They're very, very yeah, annoying faced.
You're one of those people that's like flat out 5k. It was like, oh, that's my easy run. I get trolled with you on workouts, don't I? So yeah.
Yeah. And I'll pretend that I'm going to change that philosophy, but I say won't for sure. It's definitely not going to happen.
I'm just thinking how you'd cope with that the other way around.
I just have a mental blow up, I'm sure. It'd
be 5 to 10 business days before you could saw me again.
Hold it onto it forever.
Yeah.
Always very bad at that.
Not that you hold a grudge or anything.
I always use those grudges to try and use them as like weapons for my own training, don't I? I think.
Yeah. So yeah, that's our highs and lows of this recent training week then.
So we should do it as what's our 5 must-haves for HYROX, or hybrid training. Yeah. And we usually do it as Hayley starts. I think we should get you to do these nails first, don't we?
We're
going to follow the normal principle of how we do things.
Yeah, when we train, I always insist that I do the first set of anything first, don't I?
To get out of the way.
Because then I like to have finished it while you're still going. It just gives me like, it's like, oh, I'm just like, oh, I've done now. It's almost like I've won, even though like structurally we've agreed that I go first.
So it almost feels wrong that I went first on the first one, because that's totally
caught you off guard, didn't I? Did. Like, mixed up a bit.
So I feel like you should definitely go first for your 5. I think it should be really interesting as well from when we were doing this in the prep before the podcast, whilst we both agreed with almost pretty much what we were both saying for those 5 things, our philosophy or thinking of like the training tips and things was very, very different in terms of the overall mindset of it and how it works, which I just thought was quite interesting. I think we'll both give, whilst maybe similar in terms of mindset tips, very, very different starting points of the purposes of what we're thinking about, if that makes sense.
Yeah. So the question actually was, what are the top 5 most important things
for training for HYROX?
Hybrid. Hybrid and HYROX are kind of now interchangeable in the psyche, isn't it? It's like when you talk about blackcurrant squash and Ribena or something, it's now sort of like.
But also linking very much of in terms of whether you're doing a deadly dozen, a DECA, or even like we're doing a superhuman X race, the principles behind the hybrid training itself are very similar.
They're all interchangeable, aren't they? It's just hybrids caught the
just potentially
consciousness
like
of
taking
the moment.
One particular aspect of it out for like in terms of the actual, you know, maybe taking out a road for something else or vice versa, depending on what the event has type of thing. But the actual principles behind it are very similar.
Yeah.
So what are your top 5?
So what are my top 5 things? Okay. So yeah. So when we had this question, I took a real kind of wide lens macro view of the thing. And I said that the number one thing, given how much we know we have to train, how hard we're training for this, is to make sure that you've scheduled that time in your diary. And I think, because a lot of people, I think of it the other way around. They think about how many hours available they have to them to train. Whereas I think how many hours I'm training and then how many hours I have available to do anything else. So I plug the training in my diary first. So I know I've got my 3 hours a day ring fenced that are sacrosanct. And I think that's the most important thing, because you need to train a lot and you need to train consistently. So having that block booked in your diary so that it's untouchable as time is the number one sort of thing for me anyway. And second most important thing I thought was having a great partner to train with. And I think I described to you, like, you're the monkey on my shoulder, you know, I just meant that, you know, you will pull me up on anything, or you'll keep me accountable and keep me falling off. And because we're competitive, I wouldn't let you get too far ahead of me and vice versa. And therefore both of our standards get raised. Whereas if I was training on my own, I'd probably let myself off the hook for a few things, or I'd have no yardstick for comparison to know really whether I was doing well or not in that workout.
We'll both touch base on this one as well. And I think sometimes, obviously, like even like, you know, I've been training, you know, 38 now, I've been training sort of seriously for fitness probably for 20 plus years. And in that time, I probably had 2 training partners that I thought were on a similar level in terms of And it's not even just like, I think sometimes people think of ability of stuff where that's important for some, you know, obviously it's handy if you're a very similar ability. But with a training partner, it's about mindset as much as anything. Where, you know, like we'll talk about fitness whenever we want to. And, you know, like I said, I've had one friend where I could just literally, you know, we'll go for a walk and we'll spend 5 hours talking about one fitness event, or we'll go on holiday talking about the Supreme Games we've just done and analysing it to death for literally the next week. And, you know, I think we both share a similar sort of mindset to that. But if you can't find that, it's almost been in that environment, isn't it? Because you might be quite lucky to find a training partner, but it's not always the thing that you can just, you know, go to a gym or go to a boot camp or a CrossFit place and suddenly you just happen to found a training partner that's very similar to yourself. But if you can't find that, it's almost trying to find that same, or trying to find that really good training environment that gives you that same sort of result.
For me, it'd be like, well, how do you recreate that monkey on your shoulder without having like an actual person?
But it's very hard, isn't it? Like hard. It's that, even like, why do you think, like, even if you're doing like zone two steady, slow runs, it's good to sometimes do them by yourself because you need to know how they feel training by yourself at times. But also it's very hard to get that same drive and level out of yourself, that you could think you're training incredibly hard, but someone else is there and they're pushing you, whether that's for reps at a gym, whether that's for, you know, a particular speed session or whatever it is. You just, it's a lot easier to do if you've got someone else there pushing you or setting it for you.
Yeah. Particularly like if you're coming in a bad mood, or you've had a bad day or something, that like, something peripheral that's gone on, and, you know, you come in, but, you know, the other person hasn't experienced that. They're just coming in to do that session, really focused on that session. It really helps then to switch out of the negative mindset you might have been in and into the training mindset. Whereas, you know, if you didn't have that person there, it would just be, you know, it's very hard to then disassociate the baggage you're bringing into that gym session and to leave that behind and really focus on the workout. So yeah, that's then my number two. My number three, this was a bit of a slightly flippant one, and I'm not sure it is actually flippant, but I said, you need a lot of money to be a hybrid athlete. just because, like HYROX at the moment, tickets are like £150. They're all involving international travel. If you want to get to ones that you can qualify for world championships and stuff now and things, and all the hybrid sports, even if you're doing a local sort of hybrid-y fitness race, you're probably looking at £75. And then, you know, getting the right program and all the kit and stuff and travel, it's a lot. So I think it's just accepting in advance that there's a commitment in terms of money, in terms
of time.
It's
almost for everything in life at the moment, isn't it? I think it's always that thing, if you're doing anything, it's just costs.
Yeah.
Hybrid race is very expensive.
Yeah, and probably don't think that, you know, it's a bit of a false economy if you think you're going to sign up to a race that's £120 and spend less than that on a training plan and still do well. I think it's more sort of understanding in advance what you're getting yourself into with these things.
Yeah.
So I've got two more, haven't I?
Yeah.
What are my other two? Did you remember what my other two was?
I don't know. I thought
you
that would probably
out
be
at some
that,
point.
that would probably be your element. I thought your ones.
Okay.
So what was your number four?
That was back-to-back in my nutrition with my training. Because I think that's like what I was saying with the planning everything out. Like, if you're taking the time out of your day and it's a big investment in time to do 3 hours of training here and make sure that's ring fenced, and as I say, it's quite an expensive sport to get into, et cetera, et cetera. Making sure you have the best nutrition to support that, and like then thinking about not just like quality and quantity, but also like timing of these things, and are you gonna optimize your workout with what you're eating. That's definitely one, and you know, I think a lot of people miss that step because it's not as, you know, sexy to think about, you know, programming nutrition like it is to program training. So so there's that. And then the other one, also slightly flippant but also important, was to train at a time. If you're doing events that use a sled like HYROX, getting time and space in a commercial gym that's quite busy where there's one sled to do your prescribed workout is a bit of a challenge. So it's thinking about that in advance and actually going to the gym at a time where it's going to be quiet, or constructing your workout in such a way that you know you've got that sled available, because there's nothing worse than getting partway through the workout and someone's stolen your sled, or there's a queue for the sled.
I mean,
that,
we said, I think, for our training, and it is very, you know, sometimes you might be governed that, you know, if you do a 9-to-5 job, you're going to have to train in the morning or the evening, and you're not going to have a choice of that. We're lucky that, you know, I work for myself, so I can sort of structure my training around that, and, you know, you have time where you can get that in. But if you're in a commercial gym in high rocks training, you don't often, so you might use a sled for a piece of your training and then you'll go for a run on the treadmill, or you'll go and do some burpees, or you do some warbles, and then you need to get back on that sled. But in a commercial gym, that's much harder to do because Steve over there has been waiting an hour for that sled, and it's very hard for you to then, you know, keep him off this thing. Well, obviously if you're in a box or something, a CrossFit box, or you've got access to that, where you've got an open gym or something, it's a lot easier to do. And that's always a hard balance to really get around that. Cause even when we go, times people are using the sled and there's one sled, in David Lloyd, and it's hard then to get on it and use it because you can't, we don't have the rights over this other person to use that said sled. So it can be challenging.
Yeah, to be a bit creative, but it's like expecting in advance that if you're going to go to David Lloyd another commercial gym at 6 PM, that you're probably not going to get. It's going to be tough to get your sled. Yeah.
So my five things, I think I probably agree with Hayley on virtually all of the things she said, but mine just come from a very sort of different sort of philosophical standpoint on them perhaps. So my first thing is, the most important thing is to have a plan. You could be the hardest training person, but if you don't have a plan, if you're not in a position, if you're new to the hybrid world, but you're an incredibly hard trainer, yes, you'll get some results for sure, and you'll probably do quite well. But you'll need to get a plan. You'll need to, whether you purchase one potentially from us, or you'll use one from, one of those sort of training plans are out there. Get a good plan that you can stick to that's going to get you progressive results. And we'll talk about that sort of more sort of later on and stuff that, or maybe not even in this podcast, but you don't want to be doing too many metcons. You want to have some real structure to it, to build bases and things. But my second point sort of links onto that plan. Your plan needs to have a long run in. It needs to have a speed session in, and it needs to have strength work in to make it a viable hybrid plan. Running is the most important part to virtually any hybrid sport. There are some exceptions, but you need to have runs in there. You need to have them planned, and you need to make sure there's a long and speed run in there. And I've put a training part. I won't touch too much of a training part in there and environment, because I think we've already covered that, but that's 100% in there. My other thing in terms of the running element is that make sure that your training, if it's a regular running program, it's 80-20. I think with hybrid, you could probably do that 70-30, as in 70% of it's steady, slow zone two work. Mm. And when we refer to zone two work, it's a low heart rate zone that you're building your aerobic base, but without causing sort of too much stress to the body. And then whether it's 30% or whether it's 20%, is hard, but it's still specifically hard. So it's not necessarily running at VO2 max pace or really incredibly hard, like we sort of touched on earlier. It's following a plan that's then progressive. And alongside this, I run a boot camp, and literally all my boot campers run way too fast on their slow zone two run. So it's not ends up being a zone two run, ends up being a zone three or four run. So your heart rate's a lot higher. You're working a lot harder. You're tiring yourself out. And the idea of running your zone twos or your slow, steady state runs slow is that you still build up that aerobic base, but you give yourself energy then to perform really well at the hard stuff. Mm-hmm. Where if you're running, say, just to give an example, if you're a 25-minute 5K person, so say you're running 5-minute Ks or 8-minute miles-ish, and then you're running your slow runs at 8:30 or 5:30K pace-ish, the conversion might not quite work there, but you get the rough idea. Mm-hmm. You're not actually doing a slow run. You're doing a moderately hard run that's still giving you that aerobic base, but it's going to really tire yourself out. Like, you shouldn't be trying to go for PBs on slow runs all the time, because it's not then a slow run. And yes, you're building your aerobic base, but you're going to tire yourself out for all the machine work you've got to do, all the weights you've got to do, all the other runs you've got, the speed runs that you've got to do, and you're never going to reach your full potential. You'll just be in that middling ground. And it's a very easy sort of thing to get, almost the ego caught up on, I can't run slow because it's really boring. And like when I started first integrating sort of earlier this year, getting the speed, just a quick start with the speed, we were doing lots of treadmill sprints on 22, 23 kilometers an hour for like 1 kilometer efforts. And then I'd be running like 4:50K pace, and I'd be like, oh my God, this is ridiculously slow. But now I'm like running, 5:40, 5:50K pace. And I'm like, oh, this feels reasonable. This is just normal. It doesn't even feel slow. It just takes you time to adjust. Mm. But you've almost got to let that ego just drop a little bit.
Yeah.
And to get the best results.
I feel like I shift into different gears on different runs. Do you have that? Like if I know I'm going for a zone two run, I'm in a zone two run gear. Whereas if I know I'm going for an interval session, I'm in a different gear in my mind and
body
going
in. Oh, yeah, for sure. 100%. And like when I'm doing, like I say, when we were doing like, we did a sort of a 14K zone 2 run earlier, just before this, didn't feel particularly so, just felt comfortable. We were having a chat, talking about the podcast, this sort of thing, but didn't feel slow at the same time. But when I'm doing a speed session, it's very different of, you know, that slow run feels slow. It feels like I'm just chilling and then I'm ready to go for the fast stuff. But you need that balance of pace. And if it all merges into your fast stuff isn't too fast and your slow stuff isn't too slow, kind of merges into that sort of gray zone, and then your results won't happen the way you want them to. So my next point, kind of, I'm in denial about it. So make your strength work specific. So with hybrid training, I think there's elements with that, because I think like when I first started hybrid training, I said, why would you do a bench press? Like what events have like press ups in very few high, you know, obviously there are some, but in general, but we now do bench press once or twice a week, shoulder press once or twice a week, and stuff like warbles, but like just specific all round strength. Like when you're doing lots of pulling movements, pushing movements, having that extra strength is a massive thing. If like, if you look at the top people in the world, their pace is all very similar, but the people that do really well at stuff are not necessarily the people who are super strong in terms of, you know, like the sleds. You know, we don't find the high rock sleds necessarily easy. They're quite a challenge, but they're not like top end strength level necessarily, but it's about how the stronger you are. And I think like, you know, without going sort of too off topic, but I was reading this sort of CrossFit and I can't quote it because I can't remember the name of the chap who did it. But basically said, like, if you do a CrossFit workout and you think that it's your muscular endurance that's the problem. So say if you're doing 40 kilo thrusting, you keep getting really tired, but the chances are it's your top end strength that's the problem. Someone that can do a thruster on 120 kilos is going to find that 40 kilo weight really easy. So they're not necessarily their endurance is any better. It's just their proportion of their strength. So if you have like, for example, a very good back squat or a very good deadlift, and you're then doing a drive on a sled, that sled's probably going to feel easier because you're stronger, as opposed to your, it's nothing to do with your endurance on that thing. It's just your strength's higher. So if you can build that, you know, and you're obviously, you're all, you know, we're all based in terms of what our overall sort of ceiling is on strength and stuff. But if we can get as high to that as we can while still being really fit, then we should be able to move all the pieces of equipment on whatever hybrid event we're doing much easier. So it's trying to make it specific, but also understand that in general, like if you're doing the base work of squats, deadlifts, bench press, shoulder press, those sort of elements, they're going to cover a lot of bases for virtually any hybrid event. And same with like a lot of single leg work. We now do lunges, we do split squats heavy, we do reverse lunges, we do elevated lunges. We do lots of things which are single leg, because again, you do lots of lunges in hybrid events. You do lots of just static move, not static movement, but moving movements where you need to be good on one leg, and you're using those same planes of movement. So you need to have strength in those things. So yeah, they're my five.
Yeah. I do actually say on the bench press, I'm a big believer in bench press with burpees.
Yeah.
Just it's so much easier to explode yourself off the ground if you've got that bench press power behind you.
Yeah, totally agree. Even like same for, well, I even agree that I think bench press is, even though it's a different plane of movement, I think bench press, you'd still have to do shoulder press, but even helps stuff like warbles, which are very, obviously very light in comparison, but you have to do lots of them. But having that extra power and strength definitely gives you that element.
Yeah. So yours was more, I would say, the micro picture, and mine was more the macro picture.
I think that probably sums up our like mindset when it comes to these sort of matters anyway, like where I'm much more a details of training person, where you're more like a philosophical person in terms of you getting the mindset to why you want to do these things, where I'm like, well, the mindset's just the mindset. I want to focus on the specifics of stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
If that makes sense.
The detail. And also you are a coach. So you're approaching it from
a coaching background. Yeah. For the last like 15 years or whatever.
A coach's lens, aren't you? And I suppose I'm approaching mine from not that background, very, very practical logistics and things, and sort of looking at the picture of hybrid training as a whole rather than, you know, the detail of what happens when you go into the gym. Yeah. But you obviously need a combination of all these things probably. And
yeah, definitely. I think it's one's more from like a, you know, philosophical standpoint in terms of, you know, you need to have the money to do these things and the time to do them. And then once you have that, you need to have the structure to make sure you're getting the best results from if you want to succeed at the event you're doing.
Yeah. Or not to have the time to make the time. Yeah. So, okay. So on the five. So if someone said to you, okay, what's the one thing that's going to be a game changer for me in my hybrid training? What do you think is your magic sauce at the moment?
So these questions I always find interesting, not to go off on a tangent. So like you often know, like I obviously have listened to lots of podcasts about hybrid training and different things. And there's always like the, what's the one sort of question, but it's very hard in terms of to answer that specifically for A, it depends on what your background is. Like it depends if you come from a weightlifting background, your first thing you want to do for HYROX is running, or hybrid training, you want to do running because it's running in events. If you come from a running background, chances are the first thing you need to focus on is strength. So like weakness, you don't want to lose your strengths because your strengths are what make you really good at things. And if you don't have any strengths, you need to work towards having a strength at something, whether that's going to make the thing succeed. But you need to work on weaknesses because in any sort of hybrid event, if you have a weakness that's big in a particular event, you need to bring that up because it's going to find you out. Like if you could be incredible at moving sleds at, say, you're doing a HYROX or a DECA event or whatever it is, you could be incredible at rowing and skis. If you're rubbish at running or you find it really hard to run, we need to bring that up to a level. Otherwise, it doesn't matter how good you are at the other stuff, you're not going to succeed. Like we've got an event, we can talk about events coming up soon, but we've got an event, Superhuman Battle of the Blaze, and you have to do ball over shoulder. So you could be an incredible runner, you could be leading the runs, but if you can't get that ball over your shoulder once, and you've got to do it 30 times, or you struggle massively to do that one part, you could be great at everything else, but you could end up not winning the event because someone else is just much faster at that thing than you. And all those event strengths you had, you could be better at the other 25 elements of it, but if you're bad at that one element, you could get pulled back on something just because you're bad at that one element. So it's trying to work on your weaknesses would be my one answer to that. If I can answer that in a roundabout way, I think.
Work on your weaknesses, yeah. And I think traditionally I've probably come from the flip side, don't I? That I probably just will continue to work on my strengths.
But also very,
until I'm forced to confront my weaknesses.
You need to work on your strengths also because you need to have, you know, if you want to do well at something, you need to be good at across the board, but you need to have strengths in there if you want to do well at stuff, for sure.
Yeah.
So what would you, as you asked the question, what would your one thing to...
Yeah, you'd have thought having asked the question, I'd prepared my own answer in advance, but no, I didn't.
no, and it really doesn't surprise me at all.
I think it's having a can-do mindset, which applies generally, but also to hybrid racing. And I think that it comes up so many times. It comes up with like not having the time to do something, but making the time to do something. And where you think, you know, HYROX is a classic example where you come to confront your weakness, whether that's like the sled or burpees or whatever it is, and that station is really challenging. It's keeping going and pushing through after that. It's like the run after that, just trusting that if you start running, your body will get the memo that is what it's doing now. You've got to hop on board with this. This is what's happening. And just to not accept any possibility that you're going to quit or any possibility of failure, and just to plow through and have it not even be a fleeting thought. Because the moment it's a fleeting thought that you can't do something, you inevitably don't do it or you stop. So I think, yeah, probably in all fitness racing, because it's all nonstop, boom, 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 exercise, exercise, exercise. You blast through it as quick as you can. You're confronting your weaknesses as you go along. And I think it's just having that mindset of, I'm going to do this no matter what. I'm not going to slow down for anything.
Yeah, no, I think I like your answer better than mine, to be fair. I'd probably sort of build on to that as well. Like, so we listen to various podcasts and things, and you can see from like a various sort of list of sports that I'd almost go, if you know, you practice what you practice is what you do.
Mm.
Like if you practice stuff and you give up on things, doesn't matter, you know, like I say, we follow various podcasts of people at world championship level. And even some of those guys will practice stuff and then they'll give up on things and they'll do it in training. And then when it comes to race day, surprisingly, that's what they do. When you're used to, if you get to a point, doesn't matter what your level of ability, but you're doing a workout and you want to quit, and then you grit your teeth and grunt it and you fight for everything you've got to do it, and you do that regularly, chances are when you do a race, whether it's a HYROX race, whether it's a DECA, whether it's a, you know, whatever it is, Deadly Dozen, doesn't matter, you're going to probably do that on the race as well. So if you get used to working hard and pushing through hard elements and having that positive mindset, and that's all, yeah, not just total self-belief in yourself, but that sort of element of stuff where you're really pushing hard from through things, the chances are you'll replicate that in training, and you'll replicate that training then into the race. And you know, that works for, you know, for everyday life as it does and stuff as well, and whether it comes into racing. But it's reminding yourself of that, you know, whatever your level, if you're going to go out really hard, you have to push hard to get the results.
Yeah. And it's trusting your body, that your body can do hard things and survive. And it's like, yeah, I will be fine after these burpees to go into the run or whatever. I've just got to start running and trust that my legs and my lungs are going to come back to me. And it's just having that faith in yourself that your body has its own internal coping mechanisms. It will soon let you know if it's gone too far, you'll hit the decks, and it's just, well, keep going.
And chances are, like, there's very few people in the world who get to that stage in most events, like particularly like a, you know, an hour to an hour and a half event where you're going to collapse. Obviously, if you've got medical issues, that's something totally different. But chances are your mind will give up before your body, you know, like it starts to feel hard, you back off. But do you really need to back off? Could you have kept going harder? Could you pushed a bit harder? And that's all from that mindset point of view. And if you have a strong mind and then you apply that to your training, chances are you're going to be pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's your ability to deal with the suffering and that have that can-do attitude to push through, I think, yeah.
So Tebs, what have you got coming up? What events do you have coming up in the next few weeks?
So
we're going to, just before Helly answers this one, we will have to cut this down to a relatively short answer, because for the last like 7 to 8 weeks, Helly's pretty much done.
I've been on a rampage of disagreement, booking races.
Almost an event every single week.
Going to events. I have had a bit of a scattergun approach to my training this year, in that I've just tried to do everything because everything's new and fun and exciting, and all these races are quite similar. So you can train for all of them pretty much at the same time. They're all relatively interchangeable, but they all have different quirks to them. You're like, well, I might do better at this race. I'm going to go try it out, see if I do better at this race. And like, a new shiny thing, new shiny thing, new shiny thing. So I've got new shiny thing syndrome with this. So I've done... several races recently, and I've got more coming up. I've got a DECA fit next weekend, which is like the DECA mile that we've been doing, sort of your 10 stations and you're running, but rather than a mile of running, there's 5K of running. So I think that might be a bit more suited to me than the DECA mile, because my weaknesses lie in all the stations really, not the running. So doing that one, and then I'm doing the X race with you the week after. And then I've got a nuclear fit, I think, the week after that. And then I think I've got a lull of a couple of weeks, and then I've got a series of Hyroxes, some of which are on days back to back.
Well brought out plan there.
And a deadly dozen. So I'm just doing all the things at the moment. So probably my problem is I have a bit too much of a can-do attitude at times, and you have to tell me, no, you should, you know, you
try and
can't
tell
do
you
that.
Try and tell me. Doesn't always
try
go to plan on
in.
That front.
But yeah, it's like I say, it's all fun and games until the point that it's not. I'm feeling great bouncing from one race to the next, and then all of a sudden last week was just one too many, and I broke myself. And now I'm trying to claw back from that position whilst also still not getting any downtime or recovery. So this is an interesting zone to be in.
This is not a plan we would foresee for other people to follow.
We wouldn't
recommend for others.
I wouldn't recommend this approach, but I think this year I'm more of an exploratory mission to find out which races exist, which races suit me, where my natural skill set sits with one race compared to the other, because I'm not so keen on confronting my weaknesses like you are in training.
So, I think we'll see if we're doing this podcast in 3 years time, if we're still having that same conversation. I think we may well be.
They'd be here like, no, I've matured now, Matt. I'm just doing one run a quarter, very controlled style. And focusing on my weaknesses in training all year round for those things. No, I don't think that's going to be me.
No, me neither.
What about you?
So similar, I've got the Battle of the Blaze coming up in 10 days, which I'm really looking forward to. So it's a superhuman, so we spoke about superhuman events for those that have done them, but it's more of a race. They do a 3K run, 3K backpack run. Intermixed in those, you do concrete carries, like farmer's walks, you do lunges, burpees, or standard hybrid-y type things. You then do an assault course, and very like tire throwing at the end and various things. So that'd be really good fun. We've got my first Deadly Dozen, which I'm looking forward to. Good to actually finally get a time on one of these things that I've been training for. And then High Rock's coming up in various formats of singles and doubles, which should be sort of exciting times to sort of get involved and get the times in place. Mm. So yeah, I think for us, it's sort of exciting times. And you can start to, in the next few weeks, start to follow us in terms of programs and that side of things. So if you are interested, we will have those coming through as well.
So as we go through the training ourselves for this, we're sort of working out between us what works, what doesn't work, how we would optimise each thing. So when we're following our own training plans that we've got at the moment, which are set by
RMR
Training, who are great
current world champions
at High Rock. So they know their stuff. And I'm not saying we can necessarily, you know, improve on perfection, but we are putting our own spin on this, and we're just looking at actually what would suit us, where do we think things can be optimised here, and what we like and what we're not liking, and sort of packaging up that as that, you know, our own philosophy of training.
And that's the goal of sort of the Flying Hybrid sort of brand alongside the podcast, is to, obviously we're massively enthusiastic hybrid athletes these days, as well as being sort of coaches, but it's to help people that want to do really well, you know, go to that next level of training. So keep an eye out for us in terms of links on here, stuff that we'll be doing if you're interested in, you know, taking your training to the next level.
Yeah, and people that are listening are going to see us sort of build this up from the ground up, aren't they, as we go along, because we're sort of, as I say, building it and refining it as we go along through our own training, and translating that into ways that we can help other people achieve similar results. So, yeah, it's going to be fun. Times.
So that's the Flying Hybrid podcast. Over and out.
Bye.
Bye-bye.